Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, it's the Luke and Pete Show. It's Thursday the 28th of April. Lukey Moore, what are the scores on the board? How's your week? How's your week been going?
It's been pretty good. Yeah. It's actually been pretty good. Yeah. When you said to me, what are the scores on the board? I was thinking for the first time in ages, I don't know what to say to this. Am I keeping score about something? What's going on? What is happening here?
Review your week out of 10.
My week out of 10?
Yeah.
What's it been like? It's been okay.
It's been fine. Okay.
Yeah. But, oh, I'll tell you what I did do.
Okay.
I don't know why I do this. I know why I do this, because otherwise I'll never get around to doing anything and I forget. So I've got a notepad with a list of things I've got to do on it. Yeah. Right? And I've got a little box that I keep in for, which is non-work stuff.
Right.
Which if I see and it looks quite interesting, so I don't forget, I'll make a note of it. So for example, I really want to go and see that film, The Northman.
Which was The Northman? Is that the one with Skarsgård? Like Viking
epic. Right, okay. Yeah, exactly. So I write that down in the little non-work box so that if I'm thinking of things I want to do or something that the Wi-Fi actually suggests.
I want to see the big Viking.
Yeah. And I've got a list of... Yeah, I've got a list of... He does look really hot in it. Mm. I've got a list of...
I interviewed him. He's very nice.
Nice guy, is he?
Yeah, he recommended a Swedish indie club for me. So,
oh, for fuck's sake. It's so one-paced, it's unbelievable, Dawson.
He was saying it was great, yeah. It was closed when we got there, to be fair, so he should really keep on top of things.
Yeah, that's poor by
him. That was one of the things that me and Mark experienced in Dallas. We went to a park in Dallas looking for a particular wrestling show, and the guy said, just look for Big Tex. I was like, what the fuck is Big Tex? And look, you got your computer there. Type in Dallas, yeah. Big Tex, right?
Okay, hang on.
Imagine if you would, just getting into a park and expecting to see...
Oh, I know what it is. I've seen it before, the big tall mascot,
expecting to see Big Tex. Now, he was very... He said, you don't know... I said, what's the Big Tex? He said, you don't know what Big Tex is. Oh, my God.
It's been there since, like, the 50s, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it burned down, like, 5 years ago. And I don't think they've... For whatever reason, it wasn't there. It burned down quite spectacularly. Horrible video of Big Tex. Massive cowboy. Massive 100-foot cowboy burning in the wind. Burning in the breeze at one time because of his...
Oh, that is absolutely chilling. I've just looked at the photo of it on fire. Jesus, it looks fucking awful.
Horrible, isn't it? But they said, I'll just look up a Big Tex. I was like, all right, yeah, cool. Look up a Big Tex. What a big, bloody 100-foot cowboy. He wasn't there. He'd been taken away for whatever bloody reason.
Oh, that's a shame. I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm just saying we don't have those kind of... I remember the video when Samurax hit the road. There was the world's biggest ball of twine. You know what I mean? It was some towns and kind of prefectures. They do it quite a lot in Japan.
The world's biggest chest of drawers.
Yeah,
kind of
just
crap.
Something massive to sort of go, oh, I've seen it now. And people, you know, are attracted to that part of the world just to see this bloody... I remember when the Japanese government were handing out grants to different prefectures and towns and villages and cities in Japan. One of them, I can't remember which town, just spent it on a massive 100-foot fiberglass octopus. Because when they don't know what to do with something, they just create a mascot or create something stupid for someone to boost tourism, and it fucking worked because people love big stuff. We should do that more. We should have. Remember the Angel of the North? What a big fucking boon that was to wherever the hell in Gateshead it is.
We went. The wife I have access to and I went to the West Country for a little break.
Yeah,
Exmoor. I think I talked about it at the time.
Yeah.
And this was slightly different because it's a private venture of very much of a hobbyist.
Right.
But I remember reading up about it after we saw it. I think it was a guy and his son or something. They built a massive Star Wars AT-AT or something.
Oh, right.
And just put on the side of the A road. And people who love Star Wars just turn up to look at it.
Yeah.
So it does kind of happen, but it's very much a kind of eccentric venture.
Yeah.
If you like.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you interviewed whichever Skarsgård
it was.
He screamed at you, keep my Swedish indie clubs out of your goddamn mouth. And anyway, so I want to see that. So I wrote it down that I wanted to see it. And I've got a list. So I've just looked at it. The Northman, I want to see. There's a new Motown documentary I want to watch. There's that Truffle Hunters documentary, which I missed at the cinema, which is now an iPlayer. It's a Storyville documentary. All that kind of
stuff.
Not
the Nicolas Cage one about the pig.
No, right, that's not a documentary, is it? I don't think it's a documentary. Anyway, but I flicked open Netflix a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether to be offended by this or not, but I can't really be offended by it because it worked, because I watched it straight away. It said, Luke, you might like this new Jimmy Savile documentary. Which, for no reason, I think I was at a loose end for like an hour. I was like, yeah, I'll watch that. I pressed play and I watched the whole thing. Two long parts, two feature length parts. My goodness me, I know this is not a new thing to say, but my goodness me, what a story that is.
Yeah.
A horrific story, of course, but I tell you what hasn't been talked about enough, in my opinion, having watched that.
Yeah.
Clearly, Jimmy Savile was Jimmy Savile, a predator, a horrific person.
Yeah.
All the stuff that he's subsequently been found out to have done.
Mm.
I don't think enough introspection and reflection has been done about what Britain did as a society to enable that kind of stuff. Because it is fucking absolutely horrific. It's basically in plain sight for 50 years.
Yeah.
And no one did anything about it. They, on that documentary, Pete, they were showing clips of him being interviewed on primetime television, saying basically what he was doing, and everyone just laughing about it.
Yeah, and that was shocking. And just,
have you seen it?
Yes, I have. It's.
Oh, you watched it as well.
It's
okay,
that,
right.
It's that kind of disarm. It's that kind of. The thing that surprised me is he had an astonishing career for someone who didn't have any discernible talent apart from being a presenter. You know, like,
think he was quite a good presenter?
He was one of the most famous people in the UK. You know,
do you think he was a good presenter?
Top 10. Well, he clearly had to be because he has to hold it together. But his bumbling fucking weirdness was so bizarre. You know, it's this sort of bizarreness where you're like, this is just he was fucking mainstream, but he was a dribbling fucking maniac, right? And that kind of subversive, hypersexual kind of disarming kind of sexual it's not sexiness, but you know what I mean, kind of like pretending he's sexy, do you know what I mean? His whole thing was like putting people on the back foot, like getting in people's fucking faces, kissing people on the lips, this kind of like this disarming kind of sexual undercurrent that was in plain sight. I found it astonishing because I don't remember any of that. I do not remember him constantly talking about fucking young lasses, constantly talking about this, talking about that. I cannot remember any of that. It was absolutely bizarre. And some of the clips were, you know, it was an incredible set of and a man who just there's one shot of him when he's like probably about 20, and then after that he looks about 50. Like, he's so old.
It was very hard to pin down
what age it was,
what period it was in, because you can't tell how old he is.
Always had his fucking top off as well. His disgusting fucking rapey little fucking top.
Always in a string vest.
Always in a string vest. Like,
I tell you who comes out of it badly. Oh, Thatcher.
Yes.
She comes out of it very badly.
Edwina Curry, she was mouthing off this week. You're like, oh, you saw that in the fucking documentary, right? Yeah, Thatcher.
But the thing is, isn't it really, I almost think of it as, and I'm not looking to absolve him from any of the blame, because clearly he is the fucking main person to be blamed here. But I kind of felt, I came away from watching it, and people listening, if you've got access to Netflix, which is fucking anyone, you can watch it. And I came away from the two-parter thinking, wow, this is like just a little bit short of like, almost like mass hypnosis.
Yeah.
Like, once you know all the horrible truth, you can see it in a completely different context. And it becomes quite difficult to watch for all the reasons you've said.
Yeah.
But at the time, clearly, almost the entirety of society, apart from the poor victims and a few kind of brave journalists who were trying to do the right thing and get it heard, he had like managed to almost hypnotize everyone from TV executives to police officers, quite senior ranking police officers, to journalists, to all these other people. And it was interesting, I found, that what Andrew Neil, who was one of the talking heads, said, who's, you know, an interesting character for a number of different reasons. I know some people wouldn't be a fan of his at all, and I understand that. But he said something interesting at the end. He said, and he was talking about himself, to be fair, as well. He said, as a profession, journalism let the country down. Like, we are responsible for not holding him to account, although obviously he's ultimately responsible. But I've come away from it thinking, God, that's so frightening. Like, it's so frightening how so many people can be almost like tricked by it.
Yeah.
And I wondered also whether that would be possible now, because maybe we're a much more cynical generation these days, and because of the internet and all the rest of it. I mean, basically, it was the internet that brought him down, right? Because people were sharing their stories in a much more connected way. And he wasn't able to be as isolated as he was. So that's what kind of brought him down. So maybe it couldn't happen so much to that scale now.
I don't know, man. I mean, women are just frequently not fucking believed, and there'll always be a story like that, I think. But yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it makes it a hell of a lot more difficult. But you like to think that we wouldn't be... It was mania, wasn't it? It was absolutely bizarre that he managed to sort of keep going for such a long time. And that was the thing that surprised me, like that sexuality that he constantly.
Well, that's the thing, Pete. I think that's the key nub of the issue, right? Because people will say, "Oh, he had like a double life," and you think, "Well, not really," because it wasn't like he was. We're not talking about like a Don Draper type character who's ostensibly very charming and very handsome and very kind of Bane, and you think, oh yeah, of course,
he's a fucking boogeyman. He's a fucking boogeyman.
Yeah, exactly. He looked fucking terrifying all the time. Yeah. I'm a 41-year-old man, and I know he's dead, right? And maybe it speaks to me as a kid, I haven't used to watch Jim Will Fix It or whatever, but I actually found the stills and the weird sinister background of him looking into the camera quite hard to look at.
And they didn't need to sort of dress it up. They didn't go like put like drones underneath any of the footage. No. It was just fucking
chill. You sound like him then. now then. I thought you did an impression of him.
But like just seeing him on fucking TV AM just being like, I can't remember what fucking show it was where he was in that sleeping blanket. It's this eccentric old fucking idiot who comes on and just does
Selena
what
Scott.
It was Selena Scott, who just gives and he just does a shit joke and everyone goes ha ha ha. And you just get away with it because it's just old Jim, it's just Jim being Jim, innit? And like, and he was getting employed up until like not that fucking long ago, and the thing that surprised me, it didn't surprise me actually, he clearly had fucking pretty decent legal counsel, the best, you know. In if you're going to be a paedophile, if you're going to be do the things that you do, there's an echelon of legal representation that is your only fucking answer, and he used it repeatedly to quieten people. And that was the side of things that I just assumed that because the women weren't being listened to, but it was actually quite a little bit of legaling as well, of kind of, you know, scaring
people
off.
Part of the reason, yeah, no, you're right, but part of the reason was that women and girls weren't being listened to, but it was also, I feel like it was also the lack of connectedness and coherence between them to be able to build a case, right? So the reason I mentioned the internet is because people started sharing stories on things like Friends Reunited and all that kind of stuff, saying, look, you know, this, and there was clearly a body of evidence here, like a full kind of picture of information that could be used in a coherent way, which the internet enabled. But yeah, it kind of really made me think as well about how accepting Britain is of an eccentric. Now, that's not to say there's anything wrong with being eccentric, and it's not to say that, you know, people who are eccentric are problematic. I don't believe that at all, and I don't think that's the case. But we are so predisposed to really, like, love eccentrics in the UK that I also came away from it thinking that was part of it as well.
they will be. I've been indulged. That's how I made my bloody career, you know, but...
Well, steady on. How can you come away from that conversation saying that? Well, end of the day, it's how I made my career.
I tell you,
so
what, I mean, it was
you haven't run a single marathon. Disgrace.
I mean, it was a harrowing documentary from start to finish. I will say a little bit of levity reached our shores when a mate's just in the documentary saying that Jimmy Savile's funeral was lovely.
That's what put it on my radar. You had a mate who was a talking head from the time, so a contemporaneous talking head when Jimmy Savile's funeral was covered in the documentary, who basically went, Savile, what a legend. great funeral.
He said great funeral. You know, it was really classy. Really classy funeral.
I cannot think of anything
funnier than your friend being in a pedos documentary. I'm sorry.
Dating worse than that.
So the thing that got me, the first sort of feeling was mirth and sort of like, ha ha, oh dear, that's awkward. Mm. And the second one was like, knowing full well, he was up there in Leeds for a radio feature. You know, he was a sidekick on a breakfast show. I'm not going to detail who it is because it's not fair at all that he's been pulled into fucking...
Well, you can
just
appearing. Watch it.
Well, you can just watch it. You know, you'll find out. He was sort of pulled into it. He was told to go up to Leeds and do, it was called Jim'll Fix It at Grimmage, or the Jim'll Grimmage, I think they were calling it.
Oh, yeah.
So when he died, obviously, is Leeds or Scarborough? He's in mourning.
He's from
or
Leeds,
whatever,
I think,
right? Yeah. And so there was, you know, the casket was, and people were sort of filing in and filing out. And because the show was all about 80s nostalgia because of the ages of the DJs, he'd been told to go up north, and I don't think it wouldn't have been his decision, because I mean, you know, because it's a pain in the ass to go up north for a day or whatever. But he was told to go up north and to do it, and he was obviously featured on the news because, you know, if you're doing a radio feature and someone shoves a camera in your face saying, "What did you think of the casket viewing or whatever?" And he said, "Oh, it was really quite classy, really quite classy." And it's really annoying because that kind of the DJ who would have made him do it is such a difficult personality. personality. And anyone who worked with him, many people who worked with him didn't have a lot of good things to say about him. And that show kind of cast such a long shadow. And it ends up with, you know, a guy I know featuring slightly on a Jimmy Savile documentary saying that it was a lovely service. It was unhelpful. You don't want it. You don't really want it.
I think you feel it particularly keenly because I think it could have easily been
me dressed in a gorilla suit saying, "No, yeah. I thought Osama bin Laden's sea burial was really classy."
No, I know that we're international.
I saw a turtle's head.
I know that it was a pair. I know that we're an international show with an international audience, so I apologise for being so parochial about that, but he was a massive figure in Britain. If you don't know who he is, yeah, you're listening in the US,
give it a Google.
It's really a chilling, harrowing story, but it's worth checking out. You should better watch it on Netflix. And I didn't know you'd seen it. I didn't know we were going to go in such a deep dive because I wasn't sure that you'd watched it, but I found it very affecting. And well worth a watch if you can stomach it, because I know a few people said to me, "Oh, I don't know if I fancy that," because I've got a running joke right with my dear old mum that, so you know, because Jimmy Savile presented Top of the Pops in the 70s, and that's the age that my mum was kind of a real pop music enthusiast as a young lady. And it's funny, we've got a running joke, me and my mum, because every time there's like an old episode of the Top of the Pops on, I always say to my mum, "Oh, I saw you on telly earlier," because all the girls look exactly like my mum does in all the our family photos. So I called my mum and said, "Mum, you've got to watch this documentary because you're in it." And she was like, "Okay, what is it?" And I messaged back saying, "It's making of a monster, Jimmy Savile." She replies back saying, "Fuck off, what are you trying to say?" Kind of thing. And anyway, yeah, so that's basically why I asked my mum to look at it. But anyway, let's get a break. Let's have a quick break, Peter. Let's take a little bit of a pause from talking about genuinely really horrific predators and come back and do some battery brands and get back on track. How about that?
All right, then.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back with the Luke and Pete show. Hope you enjoyed that ad break. Wasn't it interesting, all the products and services you could get these days? Oh,
what was your favourite, Pete?
I like the one about the glove that's covered in butter that allows you to massage bricks to make them lovely and smooth.
Yeah, I think you voiced that one.
I did, yeah.
Actually.
Thanks, mate.
And also, it's a lot easier when it's a product you use regularly, isn't it? Because really you feel like you can really invest yourself into it.
It really is.
I hope there wasn't an advert for that documentary.
Why?
That could happen, but also
the documentary exists. We're kind of recommending it, I suppose, aren't we?
Doing them a favour, Netflix. They can send some money our way, can't they? They've got a fair amount of cash,
got a lot of debt.
Anyway, it's Thursday, just after the ad break.
Just after the ad break, yeah. So that means one thing and one thing alone, doesn't it, Lukey Moore?
Yes,
it does. Batteries. If you are a fan of batteries, or if you've just found some in an old remote, get them in. Hello at lukepeachshow.com. The rarer, the better. Andrew has come in with some JCB Zinc AAAs. Tidying up the office today, and I found a beautiful pair of AAA cells in an old Universal TV remote. JCB Zinks. I remember hearing a listener attempt a new play status with some JCBs before, but I wasn't sure whether they were Zinks, so I thought these puppies were worth a shot. Andrew Lavers, what do you reckon? New players?
Yeah, so we've had quite a few JCBs in the past.
No Zinks?
But they've all been JCB Alkaline or JCB Ultra Alkaline.
Oh, lovely.
And the ones that Andrew sent in are JCB Zinc. The AAAs, they look very different.
Yeah.
And because his photograph includes him having very lovely clean fingernails, I think we're going to let him in.
Fair dues. Fair dues.
New players. Congratulations.
I'm rumbling in this JCB. I'm 5 years old and my dad's giant sitting beside me. Do you remember that song, Nizloppy? The JCB song?
Yes.
They try.
Who was it? Oh, do you know who? I'll tell you what. Here's a great bit of music trivia for you.
Yeah.
Nizloppy with the JCB song.
Yeah.
Can you tell me who their guitar tech / roadie was?
Who the I mean, would they need a guitar tech? How many songs do they have?
Do you know?
No, I really don't.
And it was his favourite band growing up, and he reached out to them and became their guitar tech / roadie.
Oh, so now I'm thinking it's not going to be a famous person. It's going to be one of your mates. Who is it? Is it Vish?
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. Wow. The writing was on the wall there, wasn't it?
The man
influenced by Nizloppy. Good God.
Just saying. I'm not ascribing a value judgment, mate. I'm just letting you know it's a good bit of trivia.
Good God. Every time I hear an Ed Sheeran song, I think, yeah, I can see why he's the most successful singer-songwriter, but I don't want to listen to any of them.
Let me tell you something right now.
He's
okay?
So prolific. He writes for everyone, and he's brilliant. But
it's just fine. It's just fine, isn't it? There's nothing bad about it. So this is a great. I think it's a great litmus test of what type of person someone is, right? Because if they profess to hate, quote, hate Ed Sheeran, I think that's performative.
Yes, I think too. It's affected. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think you're saying that for a reason. You've got a motivation for saying it, right? If you love him, good luck to you. I don't see how you can hate it. I just don't, it's not enough in there to be like, oh my God, this is fucking hate. People love it. He speaks to a lot of people. I know plenty of people who are really into it. And he seems like a lovely, genuine chap. So good luck to him. But he did start out with the great Niz Loppy. So I'm now worried that I've got that wrong, but I'm pretty sure I haven't. I thought you would know that fact.
No, let's have a look. It would be in the Wikipedia, wouldn't it?
You think so?
Spell No, it's not on the Wikipedia, but maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the case.
I think it is the case.
All right, then. Andrew Burke has got in touch with a Petzl Core rechargeable battery, PETZL. Hi, guys. Further to my failed attempt in having the chimpanzee double plus inducted into what I would consider to be the only widely recognised, credible and accepted official database of battery brands in the world, I'm back for another crack. Correct. And this time I have a picture. Please see the Petzl Core rechargeable battery, which I found in an old headlamp. All the best, guys. Keep the good work. Andrew. Andrew. Sorry.
So, Peter, I've just... So I've just WhatsApped you a picture of the Petzl Core that our friend Andrew has sent.
Let me have a look.
It is a new player. It's not been sent in before, so it ticks that box. But I just want to make sure that you are happy with the type of battery it is, because I don't recognise it.
What now? What's going on there then?
It looks like a fucking big SIM card.
It looks like. Oh, yeah, I don't think we can have that, because that's a lithium. I think that's lithium, and I think that's a... Because obviously what you're doing there is... Yeah, it's a that's not even a double A, is it? I mean, it's good that it's branded. We enjoy that kind of caper, but yeah, it's not double A. It's not your standard battery size. It's just a random lithium-ion rechargeable battery that you've got a little plug for. You plug in like a
shitty
USB. It looks
like the battery used to get in a big chunky mobile phone back in the day.
Yeah, it looks like a camera battery, doesn't it? But fair dues that that's a really good idea, actually. I'm enjoying the form. I'm enjoying the form factor.
You're really chuffed with
I'm like, oh, whoa. It's like, yeah, no, we can't accept that. It's not one of your big five or whatever, double A, triple A, Ds, whatever. It's just not one of those big boys. But thank you for bringing that to our attention. I like the fact that you can plug... You think that that battery would need a charger that you would slice it into, but you actually just pop a little USB cable into the side of it. Fantastic.
I mean, it's a great bit of innovation. You've enjoyed it,
Andrew,
Pete, as a
punter. You've enriched my life.
Yeah, but you can't accept it as a gatekeeper, can you? Sometimes you've got to separate the man from the job, haven't you?
Yeah, true.
And you can enjoy it personally, but you can't accept it professionally. Unlucky, mate. Sorry to hear that, Andrew.
Yeah. Josh Bavington Barber. Hello, Luke and Pete. Whoa. After a previous mention for the new player Golden Power, which included a compliment for my lovely hands and fingers, I thought I'd chuck these 90s Rorex heavy-duty double A's into the ring. My wife recently found out that Polly Pockets are worth a small fortune after a tip-off from a friend. She was sorting them out for a sale and asked me to put some batteries in the 1993 Polly Pocket bay window house after struggling with a particularly stubborn screw. Upon opening, I exclaimed, "Nold batteries!" My wife, I have access to, immediately and replied, "The Battery Podcast," which seems to be a common nickname for yourselves along listeners' partners. I don't hold out much hope knowing the large following of battery fiends among your listeners, but vintage new players would be a real coup. Thanks for the good work, and may the new players continue in this ever-growing lithium age. Josh Bavick Barber, Rorex Heavy Duty. They look absolutely ancient, and it looks like one of them's on the turn.
One of them's actually starting to expand.
Yeah, yeah.
They are new players. Congratulations to you, Josh. You've not only got one of the best names we've heard recently of people emailing in, you've also got a new player entering the game. Yeah. So congratulations to you. That's the good news. The bad news is I Googled when I saw this Polly Pockets on eBay because my sister used to have loads of them and I can't find any of them that are valuable. They're all selling for about £8.
Yeah, I mean, I think true collectors know what they're all about. But yeah, I just always thought the disposable mass market, cheap Japanese, Chinese sort of stuff that came over in the 80s wouldn't really excite anyone. But no, I mean, it turns out a lot of toys from the 80s, 90s really do tick a lot of boxes for people. I only, and my mum and dad used to say this all the time, I wish I'd kept my you know, Action Comics comics. I wish I'd kept my DC comics. I wish I'd kept my all the stuff we had when we were kids. I wish I'd kept them. But, you know, it's annoying, isn't
it? Shit doesn't get kept, does it? That's just not how the world works.
Doesn't get kept, yeah.
No, so by the way, look, I mean, just looking at this now, if it wasn't for your quite harsh judgment of our friend Andrew and his Petzl Core rechargeable, we'd have 3 out of 3. Yeah. But as it stands, we've got 2 out of 3, which is not too bad. So that's the second week in a row we've had 2 out of 3. The new battery brands are still coming in. People are still sending them in 4 years on, and we're still seeing batteries we've never seen before. Yeah. It's incredible to consider, really.
Yeah. I like rules in our game. I like to be the creator of the... the perimeters of this particular game, and I think it's important to have rules, regulations, and you know, a quality level when it comes to the old battery brand. So I hope Andrew Burke understands. No, not Andrew Burke. Josh Bavington Barber. I very much enjoyed looking at the Raw Rex heavy duties.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, I think, you know, everyone wins here.
Oh no, Petzl Core.
The guys Petzl. Listening. The guys listening, yeah, the guys listening to get some unbelievable entertainment for free, you know, and we get just to chip off and muck about for the afternoon. Mm. So look, that's that. Look, we should wrap up. Mm. We're running rapidly short
rapidly
of time, so we
short
should wrap
time.
Up, Peter.
Busy boys.
We will be back on Monday. Yep. We are gonna at some point go through the emails from people who started listening to our show because of that big billboard. I've got to go and feed my cat because his stomach is on a fucking timer. It's unbelievable.
Same with ours.
Time of recording is now what, 5:05? Yeah. He gets fed at 5.
I'm glad that your cat gets fed the same time as my dogs. That's quite nice. We both know if we're in the house, we both know what we're doing at the exact same time. 5 o'clock, we've got I'm pushing a tablet into some meat.
Well, the lads here, they get it's kind of interesting for them because if the Wi-Fi I have access to and myself are at work, they won't get fed until we come home.
Fucking whistle
for it. So basically, they get it around 7:30 when one of us gets up. They always get their evening one at 9 p.m. Mm. It's generally 5 o'clock if someone's in for the middle one. Mm. But if we're not in, then they have to wait, and then it kind of gets a little bit confusing.
Right.
But I don't know what they do when no one's here at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
They probably go around and hassle all the other fucking houses. but yeah, they are like, you can set your watch by, you can set their watch by their little stomachs. It's kind of mad. but there we go. Anyway, so it's goodbye from me and Magnus, who's sitting there waiting patiently. Goodbye from you and your gigantic elbow, which looks worse and worse every time
I'm just taking a screenshot of the of it.
It's terrible.
How do you do screenshots on the Windows machines? Is that it? Yeah.
Do it now, because you can also get a screenshot of my cat licking its bum.
Oh, you missed it. Got it.
And we'll be back on Monday. Have a lovely weekend, all that usual business, and we'll see you then. Yeah. Thanks very much for listening. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch, @lukeandpeteshow on Twitter and Instagram. If you are enjoying the show, it's really, really important and helpful that you tell your pals who you also think will like it, so we can grow the community. That's what we're all about, so please do that. And until next time, we'll say goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Peter as well.
Ta-ta.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.